Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBT stories. I'm your host, Keris Bradley, and throughout this season, I'll be talking to lots of different people from the community about lots of different things connected to coming out. Welcome to The Coming Out Tapes. The next two episodes were recorded in conversation with open barbers. Gregory, Felix, Toddy, Ade and Toby gave up their morning to talk about coming out and the Open Barbers project, and we recorded it at Open Barbers itself, which was really great, but you will hear how windy the day was during the recording. It was also bin day, so there's a little bit of background noise. The episode is an interview with five people who all have different stories and thoughts to share. When recording this interview, I unhelpfully forgot to do name checks so that you can like keep track of who's who. I've introduced different people throughout the recording, and hopefully this will help you keep tabs on everyone. In 2 weeks' time, you will be able to hear the episode all about Open Barbers itself. In the meantime, why not check them out online? Okay, so we are currently in the Open Barbers Barbershop, which is amazing. Has so many posters and zines and beautiful artwork. So it's pretty idyllic to be recording an episode of The Coming Out Tapes. And thankfully, I'm very grateful to the staff here who've agreed to give up their morning to come and chat about coming out stories. So, would you like to introduce yourselves for listeners? Should we start and then move around?
Okay. My name's Felix. My pronouns are he, him. I'm 31. And I identify as a non-binary trans person. At the sort of like mask end of things, but I'm increasingly unsure about what that really means to me, like it's changing what that means to me. And in relation to the questions that might be asked of me, I grew up in a very rural place, which I think has, I grew up in a very rural place before the internet was a big thing, which I think will have an impact on what I speak about, but then I also feel like I've had sort of two comings out, and the latter one was much more sort of immersed in a queer community, so they might be quite different from one another, and I guess that's like some relevant background information, if that's okay.
Yes, that was perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
My name is Toddy. My pronouns are she, her. I grew up in the 70s in North London with an Indian family, and so I consider myself British, my family is very Indian, my heritage is very Indian, with all of the kind of conservative trappings that go along with that. I have three kids, and I would say that in terms of what I would generally be speaking about, it's the fact that my kids, as they've aged, my life has more been about coming out to them, or in some ways not coming out to them. I kind of don't really identify with any specific labels particularly, but my identity has been very fluid throughout my entire life. So my 17-year-old recently said, "Mum, basically the best word for you is queer," So if I have to use a label, then I tend to stick with that because it doesn't identify too much, because I don't really tend to think about it too much. So.
Thank you. Okay, cool. So you use lots of different words and often no words, which is very cool. And then you say, you're saying that you kind of use non-binary, trans, and then maybe trans mass, but that's sort of maybe a bit changing. So what has that kind of been? Are you on a bit of a journey at the moment, or do you think?
I think it's more that I, when I first started to use the word trans about myself, I think I would have described myself more as, I would have used the term FTM probably more when I first started using that word. But I wouldn't use that anymore. And I think it's because I don't feel like I'm going from like woman to man. I feel like I'm definitely sure that I'm not a woman, and I'm fairly certain that I'm not a man either, but I feel like I'm more comfortable moving through the world being perceived to be male. So that's why I say like transmasculine or transmasculine, but I feel like I want to spend more time interrogating what that means. So I feel like in the last couple of years, non-binary feels like the term that fits, because I'm not sure what else I might use.
Do you remember the first time that you sort of encountered the term non-binary? Without having a 17-year-old child to pop up and be like, oh, have you heard this language?
Yes, yes. Some years ago, I would say. Some years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, something like that, probably here. I feel like I've learned a lot about like gender and language through being part of Open Barbers and meeting like from other people in the team, but also lots of clients, because all the clients have different ways of describing themselves, and that's interesting and helpful.
Have you found that having this new kind of label, was that like a helpful thing to sort of direct exploration of your gender, or?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think because when I started to think about transition, I knew I had some goals. I knew there were a couple of things that I really wanted. Like I wanted to be on hormones and I wanted to have top surgery. And in order to get those things through like medical help, you have to present in quite a particular way. At that time anyway, this was like 7 or 8 years ago, so maybe things are slightly changing now, but at that time that certainly was the case. And so I think but after all of that had happened, I think then I had like space to think about the words I might want to use a little bit more. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. Really well.
Okay.
Because you were saying that you're sort of, most of the time when you're coming out to your kids.
Yeah, I mean, so when I was growing up, despite having quite conservative parents, for me it was completely normal for my mum to be, I don't know, say we'd be at a social event, and my mum would point out the really pretty girls to me just as much as the really handsome young men, like from tiny. And I remember my first crushes were definitely on females. And then I've had relationships with women and I've had relationships with men. I've mostly had long-term relationships with men. But then we also had a polyamorous sort of living situation on and off before I was married and after I was married and subsequently as well. And I remember at the time it was very much, do not want my parents to know about this. Not that I was ashamed, but more that it was not something I wanted to deal with them sort of going, well, are you choosing a specific label? Because for them, it seems like when you do something, you decide. So you're either gay or you're straight, and you certainly don't have more than one partner because you decide, you choose a partner and you marry them and that's it. And so it was very much kind of important to me that no one outside found out. So equally, that my children didn't really know, despite living in a house with more than two adults, that they not realised that this was a polyamorous family. It was just, we happened to have extra parents. But as my children have got older, certainly the two older children, it's very much normal that we will, you know, do the same thing that my mum did with me and so on, spot the pretty girls and spot the cute guys. And they've always found it kind of normal, but I think as they've got older, they've realised that not every parent does that, and it's not necessarily something they experience everywhere. Another thing that I remember from growing up, again, that felt both odd and also normal to me, was the fact that when I was very tiny, and my mum tells this story quite frequently, people would say to me, what did I want to be when I grew up? And firstly, I would say, I don't want to grow up, I want to grow down. But also, I would say that I don't want to be a good girl, I don't want to be a big girl, because I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. Or I'm not the kind of girl that people think of as girls. I was very much not a girly girl. But my parents were fine with that. They were quite encouraging of it. And similarly, my two daughters are very much not girly girls, and I very much encouraged that with the whole having the dinosaurs and trains alongside the teddy bears and not dolls, because I hate dolls. But then my son, who's my youngest, is also very much non-binary, I suppose non-conforming, in that he has long hair and he's very gentle and he often gets mistaken as a girl. And again, I've always encouraged that this is completely normal because there are not two extremes of gender. There is an awful lot in between that's perfectly acceptable. So, yeah, coming out is more about slowly revealing to them that, you know, I don't fit the norms of what other parents are. I'm not sure if that answers your question. But
It does. You don't have to keep checking. Yeah, whatever you said is definitely going to be a good answer to the question. So it's all right. I kind of feel like you both have had people within your lives who have expected you to pick, as you were saying, like you have to be gay or straight, or you have to be a man or a woman. Hearing about like sort of coming out without words is quite interesting. Do either of you remember sort of the first time that you came out to yourself in whatever form that might have been? I like how you're looking at each other as if like the other person might know.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't ever feel like I did have any kind of big reveal, if you like. I just always felt how I felt, and it always felt part of who I am. I never really questioned it. I vaguely remember at secondary school sort of being asked, ooh, are you a lesbian? And I kind of went, no, you know, it's not that I don't want to be a lesbian, I just don't think I am. But I don't see why you're saying it like it's a bad thing. I just happen to, you know, fancy who I fancy, and I don't particularly see gender as an issue. But I don't ever remember sort of realising, oh my gosh, I fancy people of, you know, any gender. I don't ever remember that being like a big realisation. So.
I think I became aware of being queer in some way when I was about maybe 13 or 14. I might have been aware of it before that, but I was aware of it as a thing that was not the norm, in air quotes, when I was about 13 or 14, because that was when I started to feel like I was attracted to people of the same gender as me at that time. And so, yeah, I think it, I don't remember there being like a one particular moment, but I remember it happening around that time, and I did actually come out at that time in my life. So, which I think when I did it then, I think I felt like I was really old, but I realise now that I was not at all, like I was super young. So
you mentioned at sort of the top of the conversation that the internet wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Did you have like any resources or kind of people that you could talk to or places where you could get kind of advice or access to?
I don't. I certainly didn't have any online resources. I told all my close friends, and nobody had any issue with that. In fact, a lot of people sort of already knew or felt they already knew. But there wasn't any. I don't remember having any trouble at school because of it, because I was quite openly out in school, and no one gave me any hassle for it. But on the other hand, there was no positive representation at all. So my school didn't have any kind of like LGBT club or anything like that. I don't remember there being any out teachers, and there wasn't anything. It was never talked about in any lessons of any kind. So there was just sort of nothing. And then my family, like my parents, my parents sort of sensed it before I told them. And I think they are very, very supportive of me. I think at first they were worried for me. And I think the main reason for this is because my mum's older sister is gay and came out in 1962. When my mum was 14 and when my mum's sister was 18 and experienced a lot of really horrible things. And so I think my mum just had a lot of memories of her sister going through a lot of pain and hardship, and was worried that I would go through that like her sister did. And similarly, my dad, some of his oldest and closest friends were a gay couple who had also experienced a lot of hardship, and so he had that experience. So I think I don't think they were trying to be unsupportive, but I think they were worried because of their friends and family who'd had a difficult time, basically.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember reading problem pages of women's and girls' magazines, scouring for the stories about, you know, I'm attracted to my same-sex best friend. Reader, and I was very much left to my own devices when I was reading. And I stumbled upon a book of women's sexual fantasies in a bookshop. And the bookshop bizarrely allowed me to purchase it. And it was essentially pornography, if you were labelling it. But the more I read it, the more I realised how normal my thoughts and fantasies and feelings were, and how this wasn't actually just me. And partly because I was from a different culture in a very, very Western world, I'd had a very different, I'd basically lived my entire life feeling other, so I couldn't really untangle which bits of me were other for which reasons. And I'd kind of lumped everything as, well, I'm just odd. Everything about me is odd, nothing fits in. And when I found this book, the more I read it, the more I found these sexual fantasies that were completely normal and completely, you know, working within how people are. It's just the fact that people don't really talk about them, particularly not at that age necessarily, and certainly not in those times, and certainly not in my kind of family, that I sort of realised this was amazing, this was brilliant. And that was actually one of the biggest and most helpful resources for me, alongside all the problem pages from all the magazines. But yeah, there was no internet. There was no, as Felix said, there was no talk about it at school. I had no awareness of gay teachers. There was one gay music teacher, but it wasn't talked about that he was gay. It was known, but it wasn't ever talked about. It wasn't a thing. And then when I went to university, suddenly it was the biggest deal ever. We had an LGB, and it was only LGB in those days, group. And, you know, it was this amazing, completely different culture where suddenly everything was fine and everything was normal and we don't not talk about this anymore. And that was a massive relief.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Can you remind me what I should cover?
So if you could say who you are, so your name if you want to share it, and how you, what language you use to describe your identity, and then if there's anything else that you think is relevant, sort of what you do, that kind of thing, then you can share it, but you don't have to if you don't want to.
My name's Gregory. I use he pronouns. I probably would describe my gender identity as trans, although most people would read me as male. I was born in 1979, so I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in the West Midlands, mostly with a Catholic, Roman Catholic upbringing. I'd say that most of my childhood pre-puberty, I was pretty happy. Used to live in hand-me-down clothes from my cousins and have short hair. So I didn't experience much awareness of any sort of gender dysphoria or so on. I think I thought I was a boy and I was confused why my body was turning out the way that it was and so on. But it wasn't until sort of around secondary school age that I started to think I had to unlearn the things that were okay as a child, and then I think probably I've spent most of my mid-20s onwards having to unlearn the things that I learned were not normal, etc. So I feel like a lot of my adult life has been about unravelling and unpicking certain things.
Amazing. Do you remember sort of the first time that you came out to yourself?
I think for me, coming out has sometimes felt like a reconnecting with my 5-year-old self rather than a, because of the things I was just saying. I think when I remember sort of things like when I was about 5 or that around about that age, someone asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a daddy. I think when I was about 8, I remember seeing one of my dad's pupils, because he was a school teacher, I remember seeing one of my dad's pupils and he had sideburns. And I remember thinking, they look really great, and when I'm older, I'm going to grow sideburns too. I also remember just being confused by my anatomy and thinking that at some point a penis was going to grow and it never did. So things like that, I think that those beliefs that I had about myself or those understandings I had about myself were more accurate than my more so-called formative, well, I don't know, my teenage years, my kind of adolescent and young adult years, where the coming out was almost about returning back to a sort of sense of self. So there have been a lot of coming out experiences, actually, coming out as lesbian, coming out as queer, coming out as trans, coming out as polyamorous. Those are the sort of main things I can think of where it feels as though I've had to rediscover an aspect of my identity and be okay with it. And I think probably most of my teenage and young adult years were about dealing with shame and dealing with the kind of coming to terms with. So rather than coming out, more of a coming to terms with.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, I'm a barber and performer, and I guess coming out for me has been more about constantly confronting the ways in which masculinity seemed to have more access in my life than femininity did, and not understanding where those rules came from. I guess I've never necessarily felt that inherently attached to my body, and so similarly to what, I guess it depends on how you're going to edit this, but similarly to what Gray was saying, it's been sort of like numerous coming outs of like, it's like gay and then queer and then non-binary and like trans spectrum kind of thing. I make music. I'm in a band with my partner Toby, another Nigerian woman, Nigerian person, and my friend Kyoko, another queer Japanese person. I guess I mentioned that because it means our existences are constantly moving all the time. We're constantly in motion, and that is also something that's been part of my life since I was very young. I grew up partly in Nigeria and also in London. Before settling here for secondary school, and my upbringing and the Christian context of that definitely contributed to limitations on exploring a lot of things about myself, including my sexuality and gender. Now I know all those things can exist in one body as I am alive and here. It took a while to get there. that's probably.
That was great. Thank you. Do you want to introduce yourself as well?
Sure. my name's Toby. I am a hairstylist, artist, and a parent, amongst other things. But I feel like a lot of my identity is kind of tied in those three things I just mentioned. You know, my life as a hairstylist, my life as an artist, and my life as a parent. Coming out, it feels like a constant process. I don't really feel like it's something that I'm ever gonna stop doing, but it's definitely been what feels like an ongoing, not a battle, but like something like a long war, but I'm kind of on top of it because I'm choosing to engage in this, like actually my existence is very relevant to me and that's more important than I guess what society or the world around me tells me is and isn't okay. That's why I say that coming up feels like constant. I grew up in Nigeria. I was born and raised there till I was 13, and then moved to the UK, to Essex. And I think in between all of those transitions, the thing that really strangely but comfortingly felt constant for me was my understanding of who I am and want to be in the world. I'm very grateful to have had that from a very young age, because it's meant that I didn't necessarily always have to come out, but a lot of the conversations were happening naturally for me, even though I was very much aware of the fact that it wasn't supposed to be natural to be queer, to be, as I would put it in Nigeria, to be bisexual. And yeah, I think there's just a lot of conversations to be had around what it means to come out and all the different ways that people who identify outside of convention a lot of the times have to, on like an everyday basis.
Thank you. So sort of to pick up on what was being said before by Toddy about like reading a book and then being like, oh, I'm very aware that I've had some of these thoughts. Does anyone remember sort of maybe the first time that they saw another person or read a thing or heard a thing or saw a thing that made them, like that kind of connected with that part of their identity or maybe clarified part of their identity?
Yeah. My own kids exploring their gender and sexuality, particularly my eldest, suddenly made me realise what I kind of put words to what I've been kind of exploring and not really exploring my entire life. And I'm very blessed that my teenager talks to me very, very openly, but pretty much everything she says that she's experiencing, I go, oh my gosh, I remember going through that. I remember that feeling. And so that's kind of really weird because I don't think I ever met anyone like myself until I met my kid, which sounds really strange.
You didn't see yourself in the world, so you made face another one.
That was it. I thought, you know, I can't be alone, so let's have another one. So, I mean, maybe I made my kids the way they are, or maybe they're just helping me see the world the way it is. But yeah, and also, actually Open Barbers. I mean, I've only been working here 4 months, but I've been involved with Open Barbers in some way. I think we worked out it's about 4 years. And we came to Open Barbers because my son wanted a haircut that he couldn't get anywhere else. In other words, he wanted long hair. And when I started coming to Open Barbers, I started being exposed to people who made sense to me, who I just didn't see in the outside world somehow. And then the more I've been involved with Open Barbers, the more I've seen that, you know, it's had a normalising effect on all of us. And it makes us feel relaxed and comfortable in being who we are, because suddenly the proportions of queer people have increased in our lives. So yeah, those are the things that have really made me see sort of like an expression of what I want to be in life.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I guess I had there's quite a lot of other people in my family who identify in some way as queer. They might not use that language, but they, like I mentioned earlier, my mum's older sister came out as gay when she was 18 in the 60s. And because of that, I think there wasn't such a huge separation in my mind around like gay people and straight people. I understood that there was something. I understood that straight people were perceived to be normal, because my auntie and her wife were always around in my sort of awareness, and also my dad's best friends who were also gay. I don't remember feeling particularly like, oh, I'm like them, but I having them around somewhere in my subconscious was like, oh yeah, people can be like that. But I remember when I was about, I think maybe 14 or 15, there was a TV show, like a singing competition TV show, and there was somebody on that TV show who was a few years older than me. I think she was 18 or 19 when she went on the competition, and I think when you're that age, you like get really obsessed with people, like really, really. And I was so, I just thought she was the coolest person I'd ever seen in my whole life. And she had like short hair, and I cut off all my hair, and I just, like, I didn't know her, and I was never going to meet her, but I just really strongly was like, that's the person who looks like how I want to look. And I'm thinking about it now because we're talking about it, but I remember seeing her on the TV and being like, that's it. And she was like openly gay on the TV show and stuff. And I just really gravitated towards her, and like, she won the competition, and so she sort of got quite big, and like I had like posters of her and like bought all her CDs and was like really, really like, and bizarrely, when I went to university, I worked in a cafe while I was at uni, and there was someone else who worked in the cafe who was her ex-girlfriend, and I nearly fell over. I just had to be like, oh, interesting. And then I think I went to the loo and was like, that's why I sort of had a bit of a meltdown. So I got closer than I thought to this person. But yeah, I remember like she was a really formative person, just because I'd never seen like on telly being out a person who was similar to me.
Does anyone have any particularly good coming out stories? I was going to say, or particularly bad ones. It's like I'm kind of like fishing for them, but you know, just, you know, memorable coming out stories.
I have a particularly funny one.
We love a funny coming out story.
So we were one of these community fun day things, and there was an NHS stall, and they had some really cool freebie stuff, which they were giving away to the kids if the parents would fill in an NHS questionnaire. And my 12-year-old kind of looked longingly at these amazing colouring sheets of dragons and things. And I went, yeah, okay, I'll fill it in. So I was just asking like general questions about how do you feel about the NHS? And then at the end, there was the identifying questions. And there were a whole load of boxes as how do you identify? And I wasn't really thinking about what I was doing. I was just trying to hurry up. And I ticked queer. And my two daughters were stood very nearby. And my 12-year-old turned to her 17-year-old sister and went, oh my goodness, your mum's gay. And the other one went, no, your mum's gay. Back. And the poor NHS person was just stood there with this horrified expression. And these two girls were killing themselves laughing. And I suddenly realised what I'd done. Because I'd never specifically made this coming out to my children. And I was both amused that they weren't surprised and also kind of shocked that they weren't surprised. But yeah, it was utterly hilarious. And the dragon colouring sheets were very, very unimportant after that. It was just the best part of the day.
I did a talk in Bradford a couple of months ago, and this woman brought her son to the talk, and we were chatting afterwards. It was actually a comedy show, and it was not appropriate for children. And she made him sit with his, like, he had like a game on his iPad with his headphones in, and then she would pull his headphones off for the important bits, which meant this poor kid like missed all of the cool sex stuff and just had to see the bit on the Nazis. And then afterwards, we were chatting about it, and she was saying, you know, because it's relevant to him to learn about this, and he was like, why is it relevant to me? And she was like, sweetheart, you have two mums? And he was like, oh yeah, it's a good point, but it just hadn't made that connection. Does anyone else have any stories they want to share?
I feel like my coming out stories are very varied, because I've had to come out to my family like 3 times. I feel like I had to come out to my mum, I had to come out to my dad, and I had to come out to my sisters. So like coming out to my dad was the most anticlimactic thing I've ever experienced in my life, I will say. Because when I was younger, my mum caught me like in the cupboards with another girl, like just doing some naughty stuff, and she was horrified. Like, we were living in Nigeria at the time. I was like 12, just probably just like exploring what kids. I don't even know what we were doing, to be honest. It was something innocent, but for her it was perverse because obviously it was with another girl. And so she like brought out all these like, she went to go buy actually all these magazines that had like, you know, anti-gay propaganda, like telling me how it was really bad, and like she's so worried for me and my friend, and that like if I were to tell my dad, like he would lose his absolute shit. Excuse my language.
You can swear, don't worry.
So after that, we never spoke about it again. I never thought I could. It just didn't happen. And we moved here. We all were just living our lives. I was still gay as everything, but just not really talking about it with my family. And I think this day, like, my dad would come sometimes to visit, because he lives in Nigeria and we live here. And this day, we were just walking in the evening, because we, like, would go for walks. And he was just like, "Toby, are you bisexual?" And I was like, oh, shit, oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm not going to lie. And so I was like, it's really cool, like, yeah. And he was like, okay. And that was literally the end of the conversation. nothing else. And so I was like, I spent 8 years, or like some ridiculous amount of time just hiding this part of myself from my father, thinking he was gonna be completely disappointed or like disown me or something ridiculous. And it ended up just being nothing. And it was great because I didn't feel like I needed to have a conversation about it, but it also just felt a bit freeing to not be kind of like limiting myself and the kinds of things that we share with each other, because it felt dishonest that when I was like, oh, I'm really close with my dad, to then be like, I don't really talk to him about my sexuality. That's one story. With my sisters, I think they probably just thought I was weird generally. I was always like, you know, everybody should be weird, it's amazing. But when I went to uni, I went to they do like student pride, and the one that I went to was in Brighton. And I got this free t-shirt that said gay okay on it. And so I wore it, and it was like one of my first few Instagram posts. And my sister saw it then, but never commented on it or anything. But recently she was like, dude, the only reason I knew you were gay was because I saw it on your Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So I think Instagram kind of outed me in that way. And then coming out to my mom was actually a little more of a violent story, trigger warning, for like, I guess, domestic abuse, if that's okay to talk about. So I just like escaped this really violent relationship that I was in for about 8 years. And the person I was with, I have a child with, and we were living together for about a year. So I moved, like I didn't move out, but was staying mostly with my mum just for safety. But then he called my mum and like had told her that he wanted to see her and have a serious conversation about our relationship. And at this time, like I was still like recovering and trying to even like come to grips with what I had experienced enough to even share it with my family. So I said to my mum, like, don't entertain this person. They're horrible. Like, it's not going to be worth anything. But she didn't listen. And she had this conversation with them. I don't know what happened, but my sister said that he bought his laptop or something. And what he'd done was he'd gone and found like one of my old like dating or kink websites or something that had my sexuality like written on there, and came to the house to show my mum. And yeah, at that point, I really thought that my mum already knew that I was queer. Like I was dating random like people that weren't men for a long time, but we never had a conversation about it, especially because of, you know, the cupboard incident. So after this, she came to me and was like, oh, I really want to have this conversation with you. I'm so like upset. I can't believe the things that I've just heard. I can't believe this is like in the public sphere. What's going on? Is this true? I was like, is what true? Like, what you said, you're a bisexual. I was like, yes. You knew this, mum? She didn't. I think maybe she was just in denial for so long that she forgot about it. And then was reminded in a very, I guess, violent way for both of us. And so at that point, it was really just like, okay, it's, you know, conversation or bust, because I can't keep entertaining like literal abuses of power in my life. And I was like, yeah, like I have to, it's not changing. It's not going anywhere. This is what it is. And
we've been in coming out mode ever since. And her homophobia is more latent now, but is still unlearning a lot of stuff and figuring it out together. But I think those are my three most memorable coming out stories, per se. Yeah.
I'm sort of conscious of, you know, how much I'm asking you all to share. So we'll wrap up this interview with the final question, which is, what does coming out mean to you? So if anyone would like to kind of share their thoughts on coming out. I know that a lot of people have sort of already said stuff about it in their interviews. So.
I think in the context of my working life, I think coming out feels important to me because a lot of clients who come here might want to explore coming out or speak about that or share their experiences with someone who's had a similar experience. And I decided quite a long time ago that I most of the time, unless I specifically say otherwise, I'm happy to talk about coming out with and be very out with other clients who might be exploring a similar identity to me. And I have a lot of clients who I've been seeing for a number of years who have come out in their own way during that time and who we've talked about it a lot and kind of supported one another through various moments of coming out or moments of transition in various ways. And I feel like coming out in this context feels like an important area for me. Less so in my personal life, because I feel like that's kind of already happened, the kind of outness in various ways. But I feel like over time, kind of getting a sense of when a client might want to or asks me certain sorts of questions where I get the impression that they want to speak about certain things, I might choose to come out in that moment to be like, to sort of open up a space for them to start to share if they want to. So I guess I have like a particular feelings about being out and coming out in this space so that I can try and help other people, because that's what happened for me when I started to be here. So it's like a passing it on kind of thing, outness, I guess.
I guess to me, coming out is actually more about reassuring other people. I've certainly learned here and in other spheres. When people become aware of my queerness, because I tend to present, because I'm a mum with kids, because I'm brown, I tend to present as quite sort of cis and het, and people just make assumptions. And I've noticed that people are sometimes, if they are queer, a little bit nervous of people they perceive to be heterosexual. And so by, you know, in some way displaying my queerness or mentioning it or in some way dropping it into conversation, it relaxes people. And Open Bubs being a safe space makes people feel safe, that they know that you know, you're in the club as well. And then from a personal point of view, I feel I belong somewhere, finally, which is really, really amazing to feel like a part of a tribe. But I don't think of it as a big thing that needs to be done. Like, I can understand absolutely why people come out to their parents, for example. I have never had any desire to make that declaration because my parents kind of don't really care. They have seen me through so many different things that were stretching their beliefs and expectations and have not changed how they feel about me in the slightest. And they reassure me that, you know, things like having a baby outside of wedlock and those sorts of things, getting separated and having another partner and that sort of thing, have just never, I'm not saying they didn't like have a problem with them, but they got over them and it's never made a difference to them. They still love me, they love my kids, they love my family, they love my partners, That I've just never seen any particular need to sort of explicitly say, by the way. So that I'm coming out in that sense, that's what that means to me, that it's almost not necessary for some people.
Mm.
But yeah, it's, I realise that's not the same for everyone.
Mm.
Did anyone else want to?
Yeah, did you want to say?
Okay.
I was just thinking about this as you were speaking, it was helpful. That I think that when I was younger, coming out was about, actually, I think the thing that I had to deal with first was more mental health. And I see these things are connected, but I was much more aware of my mental health issues before I was aware of any gender or sexuality issues, and I understand to some extent that the mental health issues were contributed to by feeling different from other people. But I think, so there was a lot of struggle for me to get to where I've got to today, but I think that now, I've transitioned to the extent that I've taken hormones for some years, and now people would pass me on the street and see me as a, probably would see me as a white cis man. So for me, coming out now actually is about solidarity and being feminist. I think when I was younger, or an ally, when I was younger, I didn't, even when I was aware of feminism, which took me quite a long time to get to, and I was female, I couldn't see the relationship that I had to feminism. I couldn't see what it was. I thought it was about other people. But now that I'm more content within my own gender identity, I can see what my role within feminism is. But also, like, you know, so for me to be coming out to people can actually be quite comfortable. But for other people's experiences of coming out, because they're not coming out into a greater amount of privilege, then the experience could be much more dangerous for those people. And I think, so for me, if I find myself, which is rare, in a group of, amongst a group of other cis men, where there might be certain types of conversations being had, I have to put myself in, I want to put myself in uncomfortable situations to call people out, or to sort of stand out and be different, or to have some sort of solidarity, or to ask questions. And so that might not necessarily be coming out, as in, that might not necessarily result in me saying, hey, I'm trans, you're being a dick, or you're being, like, you're saying something terrible. But I think it has a, like, I guess I've understood the politics of it, that the politics isn't just about me and my political body, but it's my body in relation to the rest of the world. And that's why it's important to come out, or stick your neck out, or be uncomfortable sometimes. Which can result in coming out, in a type of coming out.
Hey, I'm trans, you're being a dick. It's an excellent slogan.
You should make that t-shirt.
Did you have something that you wanted to...?
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of like in the same vein of some of the things that have been said, coming out for me has definitely been about not lying by omission. Because over time, there's just, I feel like lots of little white lies that add up and like start to weigh heavy. And a lot of my sort of trauma with my queerness when I was younger was like about feeling like I was the only one, nobody else like me existed. And being that I was in Nigeria, which is a very, very religious country, it's like 98% religious. It's very hard for people to, that's a very real concept, basically, to live your life and really believe that you'll never see anyone else that's like you. And so now I want to be out and try to live in a more out kind of existence, just so other people are aware that like there is like at least one other person like them that exists. Because I think like that was kind of like a big basis of just like being here or not being here. And like you said, very mental health related for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Coming Out Tapes. I have been your host, Keris Bradley, and I would like to say thanks to Scary Boots for the artwork, which is available to purchase on Redbubble, Michaela Moody for the music, and Alex Lathbridge of the Smart Material Collective for his support of the project. If you want to get involved, please tweet at us, because we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and questions. If you liked this episode, subscribe and leave us a review or recommend us to a friend, because it makes a big difference.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.